wondered why it takes so long before people do something about a problem? Like, your whole world could be falling apart, and then you say, okay, I should fix this. But, like, you could have fixed it months or even years before. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet. I'm a psychologist. And the reason I make these videos is to try to help people to understand that your physical health and mental health come together to create the overall sense of well-being. If an experience is not noticeably different from one moment to the next by our senses, it's as if it's not happening. Think about aging for a second. Like, you don't look at a picture from last year to this year and say, oh my God, I've gotten so much older. But look at a picture that's 5 years old. Look at a picture that's 10 years old. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what happened to me? There's certain things that change for us that because they change just that amount slowly, we don't actually notice it. We don't notice it until something forces us to see it. Now, here's the problem. We only correct things when something's uncomfortable for us. So the only way that I'm gonna work on my weight is if somehow my weight becomes uncomfortable for me. And the only way for me to see that my weight is uncomfortable for me is to actually notice that it's changed from one level to another. I'm not gonna notice a 3 pound change in my weight. Most people won't. But you would notice a 15 or 20 pound change in your weight if it happened overnight. But that never happens. So now we're in the dilemma, right? Because yes, it's possible for me to gain 20, 30, 40 pounds over the course of years and not notice it. And so therefore, all of those years where I could have been working on my weight, I'm actually not doing anything. Now, there's another problem that comes with this. You see, when I do notice that I've gained weight, and it's usually because something uncomfortable is going to happen to me. So either I'm going to see a picture of myself 5 years ago, look in the mirror and go, what the? Or I'm going to go to do something like tie my shoelaces or try to do some kind of activity and realize that I can't bend or contort the way that I used to be able to and be like, when did I get bulges there? What's horrible about that way of figuring out that you've got weight to lose is that I'm also going to be ashamed of myself. I'm gonna be like, what the heck? How did I get to be in this position? And what happens when we're ashamed of ourselves? A lot of the time, for the majority of people, if I'm ashamed of myself, I try not to look at the situation that's causing me shame. So now what have I just done? I've just identified a problem and said, oh my gosh, I can't deal with that. And then I keep walking forward. So what's happening? Maybe another year or two of the weight continuing to rise. Now, the other thing that we sometimes do is give ourselves excuses as to why we've, for example, in this case, put on weight, right? Well, I'm older and it's normal to put on weight when you're older. Or maybe because I've had children, it's fine. Like, you, of course you gain weight when you have children. And all of those things are somewhat true. Of course, I'm not going to be as thin when I was 20 as I am when I'm 40. But does it mean I need to be overweight? You have to stop and ask yourself, if I'm overweight, that means that I'm even more than it would be normal for me to be at 40. Does it mean because I had a kid or two or three that the weight that I gained during my pregnancy, I allow to stay on my body and cause me to have excessive inflammation, cause me to have joint issues because I'm carrying around all this extra weight, cause me to have possible other issues of insulin resistance and other things because I haven't addressed the extra weight that I'm carrying and I have to feed this extra weight, right? It's not just there, I have to feed it because I need the energy to move my body. Giving ourselves a reason why it's okay to be overweight keeps us in the story where we are overweight. And then because I've given myself that reason, I'm back to feeling ashamed of myself. It's important for us to understand that these ideas are happening in our head and that it's not my fault. Because like I said, when something is coming up on me slowly over time, it's normal that I wouldn't have noticed it. This is not about fault. It's about what do I do when I notice? In order to address this, there are a few things that we need to be clear about. First, there's a reason that so many people in North America are overweight. And that reason has nothing to do with laziness. It has nothing to do with lack of motivation, and it doesn't have anything to do with fear of failing. So the reason I'm talking about has to do with poor planning. The first part of this story is, what have we all been told about food? In order to feed a large number of people, you need to have crops that can feed large numbers of people. You need to have meats and vegetables, and so you need to have the food for the masses. What's the most expensive food to produce? Wildlife. So actual, like, animals are the most expensive. What's the cheapest? Crops, so grains and and these kind of things. On a governmental level, we are constantly pushed towards grains. We are constantly pushed towards the cheapest foods that we can eat. Why? Because if you need to feed a lot of people and you have a budget, of course you try to feed them in the way that's going to be the most cost effective. And that's fine, because the government's goal initially was to keep us all alive. So they were thinking of the short-term goal. We need to feed these people, not necessarily the long-term goal of what will the health look like 20, 40, 50 years from now. Staying alive trumps my health in 40 years. That's obvious. However, for myself, as an individual, it is important for me to know, but how does the food I'm actually eating affect the health I'm going to have 40 years from now? These are two separate ideas. So that's the first thing I'm going to say, is that, yes, our health is affected by this piece of information. But now there's more to this, because now that I know that, I have to question, is the food guide that the government says, you know, eating like how many servings of grains per day is healthy, is that really healthy for me? Let's talk about carbs. So another reason that we don't take action beyond being told that carbs, so grains, are good for us to eat, is that we don't actually know how eating carbohydrates affects our bodies. And the most important element that I feel like happens for our personal understanding of how carbohydrates affect us is how addictive they are. If I don't understand that carbohydrates affect my brain, so the center in my brain that causes a dopamine response, which is the same center in your brain that causes you to chase alcohol, that causes you to chase drugs. If I don't understand that carbohydrates touch that part of my brain and cause a dopamine response, and make the connection that carbohydrates and sugar are two words for the same chemical, then I'm not going to recognize the fact that, well, all fruits are carbohydrates and all grains are carbohydrates. And that means if I'm eating fruits and I'm eating grains, that's eliciting that response from my brain. Bread is made of grains. Oatmeal is grains. Like, think of all these healthy things that we think we're eating healthy, but we're actually eating grains and fruits that cause us to have a dopamine hit, which means that now we're chasing sugar. And once we start chasing sugar, so starches like potatoes and carrots, so all the under the ground vegetables, when we start chasing the carbohydrates in these foods, our ability to say no to a meal, to say no to excessive amounts of a meal, is really decreased. And we don't even know it's happening, because when we do addictive behaviors, oftentimes it's beyond our thought process. So what's the effect of us chasing carbohydrates? That's the beginning part of the story, right? I eat an apple. It's sweet. It goes into my body. When this sugar from the apple gets put away, a few hours later, my brain is looking for more of a hit. I eat a banana, or I eat some bread, or I eat, right? So, and this loop that I'm in, it happens over and over. The question is, what's the result that comes from that? Well, the more I eat carbs, I need to put them away, because carbohydrates, although very exciting for my brain, are not great for my blood. You can only have 5 grams of carbs floating around in your blood at any particular point in time. So your body tries to keep that pretty stable, which means that if I eat an apple, it has to put away the carbohydrates in that apple, or I could have a toxic reaction. Well, where does it put it away? It puts it away as fat. Now, we have multiple people who are overweight, even towards the obese side of the scale, that are having trouble managing their weight because they don't know this piece of information. If I eat a lot of carbs, I will not be able to keep those carbohydrates floating around in my blood. My body has to put them away, and it puts them away as fat. That's a piece of information that just is reality. What happens when I know that? I can make different choices. But here's something else that we often don't know. There are a lot of diseases today that are related to the amount of carbohydrates that we have in our system. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to talk about how these things are related. I feel like, you know, we can go to a lot of doctors online who are talking about this information, Dr. Bickman, Dr. Westman, Dr. Fung. There's a lot of doctors talking about how these things are related. What I'm going to say is diabetes, PCOS, Alzheimer's disease, many of the inflammation scenarios that we all live every single day, they're all related to excessive carbohydrate intake. PCOS didn't even exist as a condition 70, 80, 90 years ago. These are all conditions that doctors are believing come from eating excessive carbohydrates. Until somebody makes the link between a problem and an outcome, so problematic eating, like eating too many carbs, and then a bunch of diseases that people are living, until somebody makes that link, we're not shocked enough to take action to change what's happening in our lives. If it takes too long to become a problem, oftentimes we're willing, because we're not looking that far into the future, to keep doing a bad behavior. But then when we're living the consequence, we're dreading, we're regretting that we didn't make the change years ago. I think smoking is a great example of that, of how many people know that they need to quit, but they're still smoking, and they're still smoking because, well, that problem won't hit me till years from now. And then when it hits, it's devastating because it's not fun. And obesity, diabetes, which can lead to blindness, which can lead to amputation, Alzheimer's disease, PCOS, all of these conditions that doctors are telling us are coming from excessive sugar consumption. So excessive carbohydrate consumption can be changed. The problem is that we don't make changes until we have a smack in the face that says, change it. I want everybody to look in the mirror. Are you the weight that you would like to be? It's not about a scale. Look at yourself. Do activities. Are you exhausted? Are you able to move your body the way that you want to move your body? Are you able to live your life the way that you want to live your life? Are you able to do the things that you want to do? It's not just about a number. It's about feeling good too, because you might be a good number on the scale, but because you eat a lot of carbs, inside you might still have a lot of inflammation and not be able, arthritis. Another condition that they believe is really related to sugar. You might be in the position where your body isn't behaving the way that you want it to behave because you are eating too much sugar. Trust me, I was not aware of this until it hit me in the face with a hip issue and I couldn't do what I wanted to do. But once I knew the information and made changes to my life, oh my God, is it different? Everybody needs to look at their situation and ask themselves, am I really living life the way that I'm comfortable? Am I really doing the things that I want to do? Is my life okay? The recommendations that we get from doctors, the recommendations that we get from the government, is focused on keeping us alive in the moment. They're not necessarily always focused on the long term, how will your life look 15, 20 years from now? It's my job to be worried about how my life is going to look like 15, 20 years from now. And in order for me to do that well, I need to know how food affects me. Happiness takes work. You need to invest in yourself to have the happiest life you possibly can have. So come on, wellness warriors, let's get out there and invest in us. I'd like to know, what was the thing that caused you to decide that you needed to change your way of eating? Was it weight? Was it inflammation? Please comment down below. What caused you to decide to change your way of eating? Thank you to my wellness warriors for stopping by. Anyone who's not subscribed, please subscribe. I would love to see you here again next week. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, and I will talk to you next time.